I am not ashamed of the good news. Good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this good news unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, who has faith, who knows the three-in-one God of Israel. First to the Jewish people, and then to the Gentiles. And salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our greatest need. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, I have a guest today, and that is Dr. Jack Sternberg. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Jack. He's a retired medical oncologist physician that's a cancer treatment specialist. He was born and raised in the Holy Land in New York City. He did his undergraduate work and medical school at the University of Buffalo. He received his cancer training at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. Then he eventually moved to Little Rock in 1977 to start private practice. And there in 1980, Dr. Jack came to know the Messiah. This Jewish doctor met the great physician. Along with his wife, Marilyn, she came to know Messiah also. Dr. Jack had practiced oncology until 2006 when he retired and then moved to Hot Springs. And he's now a volunteer physician at the Hot Springs Charitable Christian Medical Clinic, which is a great thing for Dr. Jack to be doing. Dr. Jack, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Well, Brother Lauren, it is great to be on the phone with you. And I just can't believe it's 4 months since I last saw you. How fast it's gone.
Time does fly, Dr. Jack, and yes, it was great to see you at the LCJE conference in San Diego and to be with you and with your lovely wife, Marilyn. But let's start with your story. How did the living God, the three-in-one God of Israel, reveal himself to a nice Jewish guy like you, and specifically that Yeshua is the Messiah? How has Jesus made you kosher, Dr. Jack?
Well, you know, I think most Jewish testimonies are very similar. I grew up in a wonderful home, two wonderful Jewish parents. I took Jewish training. I had my bar mitzvah. But yet, God was never very real to me. And as I studied in undergraduate school and medical school, and then started seeing illness and death and dying, especially with the cancer patients, I had great difficulty in trying to understand the God of the universe, if he even existed. And I had really gotten to the point where I pretty much told him that I didn't think he existed, even if he did. Around 1979, I had a medical problem in which I woke up one morning and I had lost the vision in my right eye, and I was extremely anxious and fearful that I would go blind. And at that point, I really cursed God out, if there was a God, and told him that I'd have nothing to do with him unless he could show me and make me understand his ways. Little did I ever expect that to happen. I'd say about another year went by. God and I had nothing to do with each other. And then one night, my daughter had a friend over. Her father was a Jewish physician, and she let it be known that they were going to church. And in a fit of hypocrisy, which is the only thing I could say, because I didn't really believe in God and I had nothing to do with God, even though I was still very proud to be Jewish, but that had nothing to do in my mind with God. I called him up and I said, "Charlie, what in the world are you doing going to church?" And he answered me something that just floored me. He said, "Jack, we're going to this wonderful Bible church, and I have learned more about my Judaism at church than I ever learned in the synagogue and the temple, and for the first time in my life, I'm really proud to be Jewish." Well, I have to tell you, Lauren, this just blew me away, and the words came out of my mouth, "Well, you know, Charlie, we're searching also. How about if we..." And so we went with him to church the next day. We went to a church called Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and the sermon had to do with why does bad things happen to good people. And I mean, I had like a road to Damascus experience. Suddenly, God made some sense to me. I mean, I sat there, and I was just shocked, and I walked out of church that day saying, you know, now I believe in God again. I just hope it isn't this Jesus. Because, you know, I think all of us who are Jewish, who came to know the Lord, we know that becoming a Christian, becoming a believer in Yeshua, Jesus, we're going to pay a price. We're going to anger a lot of Jewish people. We're going to anger our parents, our families, and we run the risk of being rejected. So I was really hoping that I could find God without it being this Jesus fellow. And I went and I visited with a number of rabbis in the community, and I really went there for them to talk me out of this Jesus, because by this time we had already heard the gospel, we had been in Bible study, we had seen the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, and day by day, week by week, I and my wife were coming to believe that Jesus was our Jewish Messiah, and as you say, he would make me kosher. And I went to the rabbis, and I attempted, or they attempted to talk me out of it, but they didn't try to talk me out of it by going to the actual Old Testament scriptures or the New Testament. They just kept on trying to lay guilt and shame on me. You know, they kept saying to me, you know, you know, there aren't enough Jews, and if you become a Christian, if you become a believer in this Jesus, you know, there'll be less of us. You're turning your back on Judaism and 3,500 years of tradition. And I kept saying, I hear all that, but that's not the issue. The issue is Yeshua the Jewish Messiah? And they really could do nothing to dissuade me from what I was seeing with my own eyes in both the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and also the New Testament. And so my wife and I went through this incredible Bible study, and then one night we were actually lying in bed, and we went to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, and we read it, and we were shocked. I mean, to us, this was exactly the story of Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. And we so didn't trust the Gentile Bible we were reading it in, it was the New American Standard, that we went out and got her Masoretic text from her confirmation, and sure enough, it said the exact same thing in her Jewish Bible.
Jack, and, was this
a few weeks later, my story, I won't tell you her story because I think you're going to have her on next week. I was working with the patient, and I was leaning over her, examining her, and she looked at me and she said, Dr. Sternberg, something's different about you this month. What's different about you this month? And I went, and she said, no, really, you've got to tell me. You're so different this month. There's been a transformation in you. And I finally just looked and I said, Mildred, I believe in Yeshua as my Messiah and Jesus as my Messiah. And anticlimactically, she said to me, oh, I thought that's what it was. So that happened on December 5th, 1980, and my wife and I have both been in the faith now for over 30 years, and it's just been a absolutely spectacular and wonderful adventure, and the Holy Spirit has just done, I think, a great job in giving us peace and contentment and changing us more into the image of His Son.
That's a great story, Jack. Thank you for sharing it with the Jesus Made Me Kosher audience. You're listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. And my guest right now is Dr. Jack Sternberg, coming to us from Arkansas, a nice Jewish man who's living in Arkansas. Jack, God used suffering in your life. Most people, you know, seem to assume that if God exists, our lives should be without difficulties, but that is not the way God works. And God used suffering in your life to get you more aware of your need for Him. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And I think that you know, now I look back and I realize that God was always there throughout my life, but at that point He had to do something to get my attention. And obviously, since becoming a believer, God has, and I love the term, he is continuously pruning me using different methods to make me more to the man he wants me to be in Messiah.
Dr. Jack, a lot of Christians assume that all Jewish people are deeply religious and know the Bible. I mean, you grew up in a Jewish family in New York. You had your bar mitzvah, but you weren't deeply religious, and you were not a great Bible scholar, were you?
Yeah. I think most Jewish people today are secular Jews. I think that we know our heritage. We're proud of our heritage and our people. We're proud of what we've accomplished. We are proud of the fact that we have survived 3,500 years of persecution, but yet, at least in my family, the training was not in the Hebrew scriptures or in the oral traditions. It was more a matter of just tradition. Even though I did take training to have my bar mitzvah, I was basically just trained how to read Hebrew, but not to translate it, so that I could go and read the Hebrew Haftorah at my bar mitzvah. I mean, to this day, I don't even know what portion of the Bible I read that day. It was all in Hebrew, and they actually didn't have me read it from an actual Bible. They gave me something that was printed with the Hebrew in it that I could go to the Bima with, and that's where I sang it from. So you're absolutely right. Most Jewish people today, and of course there's the Hasidic or Orthodox Jews that are more knowledgeable, but I think that, you know, they don't comprise more than maybe 20-25%. The rest of us just are Jewish by birth, and I love to say I'm Jewish by birth, and I'm a believer by choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, you mentioned your bar mitzvah and just learning the Hebrew, but not even being sure of God or the Bible. It seems to me that a lot of Judaism, what we know as Judaism in the United States, has chosen form above substance. There's this beautiful Jewish form and tradition that's very ancient, but most Jewish people, we go through the forms, we go through the rituals and ceremonies, but like you were virtually an atheist, right?
I call myself an agnostic atheist. Yeah. I wasn't absolutely sure God didn't exist, but the world that I was seeing, I couldn't understand the God that would act this way and allow the things that I was seeing.
And then you talked about when you were searching and you were suspicious that Yeshua was the Messiah. You visited some rabbis and other Jewish authorities, hoping that they could prove to you that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, because it's difficult for a Jewish person to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, right? Wasn't that your motivation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I need to tell you a story that I left out. You know, I'm here in Arkansas, which is in the middle of the Bible Belt. And I have to say that the majority of the patients that I was taking care of were true evangelical Christians. They loved the Lord, and they believed in him. They believed in sin and the need for salvation and the need to believe in Jesus. And they kept witnessing to me. I didn't know they were witnessing to me, but they kept on trying to talk to me about this Jesus. Now, I would imagine that probably doesn't happen very much up north. But down in the south here, Christianity is a way of life. And I kept on watching these patients who had cancer, who were suffering, many of them dying. I was watching their families who were losing loved ones, and yet they still had this incredible love of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you that as the scripture says, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jew jealous. I was envious of their faith. I was envious that they loved this God so much, and they believed in him even in the midst of all their suffering and their trials. And I remember coming home and saying, Marilyn, wouldn't it be great if we could love God the way these Christians love this Jesus? And we both looked at each other and go, not a chance. But little did we know.
So would you encourage a Christian who is listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher today to try to speak to a Jewish doctor or dentist or coworker or friend about the Messiah, or just to be silent?
Well, you know, there's different aspects to this. I think that I was seeing lifestyle evangelism in the sense of watching my patients, but in addition, they didn't stop with just them being nice, and I didn't know why. They were showing me by their actions what they believed and where their strength came from, and then they verbally would share it with me. Now, of course, many of them didn't really understand how to witness to me as a Jewish person. It seems real easy for a Gentile to just talk about, you know, believe in Jesus and get saved, and that happens. To a Jewish person, I think we need to understand how believing in Jesus doesn't make us suddenly a different religion. It completes our Judaism. It's what God always wanted us to believe, and that we're not leaving Judaism, we're completing it.
Jack,
many folks don't have the knowledge to do that. But at the same time, Lauren, I need to say that I think that what happens is, and I think the organization that you know, I'm with, Jews for Jesus, they did a survey years ago that most Jewish people are at least gotten to the point of coming to salvation by their relationship with Gentile Christians, and then frequently they have to then send them on to a Jewish believer to kind of close them, to make the person understand why they're not leaving Judaism. They're just completing it. They're becoming whole in their Messiah.
Jack, I think you're absolutely right. What keeps Jewish people from considering that Jesus might be the Messiah is, you know, Jewish community pressure. In many societies, there are, you know, boundaries that you can't cross, taboos that, you know, you can't violate. And in the Jewish community, the boundary you can't cross is that Jesus is the, you know, Messiah. He's the Savior. And so when a Jew accepts Jesus, he is excluded from the Jewish community. And to counteract that, we need to constantly be telling, you know, our Jewish friends and neighbors and coworkers that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, emphasizing the Jewishness of Jesus, the Jewishness of the New Testament, the Jewishness of the apostles. And that when a Jewish person encounters the King of the Jews, he's becoming a better Jew, a more loyal Jewish person, not a less loyal Jew.
I mean, I know 10,000 times as much about my Judaism and God now than I knew prior to coming to the Lord. I mean, and that was, you know, that was one of the other things that happened. I mean, as soon as you come to the Lord, I think as a Jewish person, all of us experience this incredible void that we had, and we just become ravenous for the Word. I mean, we can't get enough of the Scriptures and Bible studies and discovering what we've been hungry for, but couldn't find in our standard Judaism.
So Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, is sort of the missing piece of the puzzle that really makes authentic Judaism, a more biblical Judaism, come alive. Agree or disagree?
Well, that's, of course, what we believe. I mean, obviously, our non-believing Jewish friends think that that's ridiculous. But, you know, we who believe understand how the Old Testament, concealed, and the New Testament unconceals it. And you know, you can't really understand the biblical prophecies until you look at the New Testament and see how they were fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. That's one of the other interesting things for your listening audience. Most of the argument that usually comes down to of why Jesus isn't the Messiah is because he didn't bring peace to the world, and the lion hasn't laid down with the lamb, and so therefore, how could he be the Messiah? And of course, you and I both know, and your congregation knows, that that's the second coming, not the first coming. The first coming, as prophesied in Isaiah 53 and other passages, he came to suffer for our sins. He came to die for us. He came to shed his blood like the Passover lamb or the Yom Kippur goat. He fulfilled it exactly, but that was on his first coming. And they don't know any of those prophecies. They only know the one when it's supposed to be the kingdom of God comes and everything will be perfect and God's in control. But that's the second coming. And when you can explain that to a Jewish person and show them where the two different aspects of Jesus' life are found in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament, all of a sudden their eyes open up, but then they still have to make a personal decision, even if they see it, whether or not they're going to make that decision because of the price to pay.
I think you're right, Jack. Isaiah 53, you grew up in New York, you had your bar mitzvah, you were an educated Jewish person. Had you ever really looked or read Isaiah 53 prior to your experience in Arkansas?
I can remember as a child and as a teenager a few times saying, I'm going to read the Old Testament. And I would get to the Begats and I'd give up. I mean, I never got past the first couple of books. It was boring. It made no sense. I mean, whoever read the Minor Prophets or the Major Prophets or Isaiah or any of these things, I mean, it was you know, without the Holy Spirit, it's like impossible to read the Bible. I mean, he is the helper. He helps you, he helps you understand it. He gives you the desire to know it. It's a supernatural event.
I think you're absolutely right, Jack. And I think for a Christian to communicate to a Jewish person that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, he's the fulfillment of the Jewish heritage, and that a Jew believing in Jesus is the most Jewish thing we can do, and then point them to Isaiah 53. I share your experience. I grew up in a Jewish family. I had my bar mitzvah. I never was exposed to the Tanakh, the full Old Testament and these messianic prophecies, especially Isaiah 53 and the prophecies of the suffering of Messiah. And I've also found Isaiah 53 so powerful, such an eye-opener. So if you're a Christian today and you're listening to me, this is Rabbi Lorne talking to Dr. Jack Sternberg, a Jewish doctor who met the great physician, I would just challenge you, emphasize the Jewishness of believing in Jesus, the Jewishness of the New Testament, the Jewishness of the apostles, that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Point your Jewish friend or neighbor right away to Isaiah 53, this amazing chapter, very detailed prophecies about the coming, the suffering, the rejection of the Messiah. Dr. Jack, any final words for those who are listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher today? We have about 1 minute.
Well, I think that one of the things that I want to tell the audience is that coming to faith is the most amazing thing. And, of course, that gives us salvation. It gives us guaranteed eternity with God. But, you know, that's just the beginning. What you get from knowing the Lord, from being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, it changes you. I mean, it gave me an emotional resurrection. I lost my fear of death. My anger and frustration at the world disappeared with time. And I just got contentment and peace for the last 30 years that I never knew before. And so I just want to say that coming to the Lord is wonderful, but it's only the beginning of a great adventure and a great life.
Thank you, Dr. Jack. Well said, articulate, and appreciate so much you're taking the time to be with me today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. And I'm very much looking forward to interviewing Marilyn, which I believe is going to take place, Lord willing, sometime next week. Jack, thanks for being my guest today.
Okay. Bless you.
Shalom.
Bye-bye,
man. You're listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. And I've been having a great interview with Dr. Jack Sternberg. He's a friend of mine. Dr. Jack is now on the board of Jews for Jesus, so he's in a wonderful leadership role in Messianic Jewish ministry. And how wonderful for a Jewish doctor, an oncologist, a cancer specialist, to find the great physician and realize that believing in Jesus is the most Jewish thing that he could do, and it gave Dr. Jack that peace and happiness that he was really searching for his entire life. Well, I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow for another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. And so from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to wish you shalom, shalom, God's perfect, abundant peace.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.